Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, everybody, and welcome. Happy Monday, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. You know, last night, before I went to bed, I had the podcast all set and all ready, and I made the graphic, I made the article, I published the article, and all set to talk about how Pfizer is, my lead story was the fact that Pfizer is recruiting Hollywood in a series of ad campaigns to promote the clot shot. But if you've seen anything related to the Grammys last night, and I was so busy last night with the Bible study, which I love, and then getting the podcast ready, all this breaking news coming out of the Grammys regarding this song by a singer named Sam Smith. And it's a song called Unholy, and it featured, and we're going to talk about this today, it featured him dressed up as Satan, putting women in cages and people being beaten with whips, and the whole thing in like this blood red light. And it was overtly, not mildly, not reminiscent, it was overtly satanic. And then when you get to the end of watching that performance, the very next thing that you saw on the screen, this program is being sponsored by Pfizer. And I posted a video of that on Twitter, and it's been viewed 13,000 times already. So we're going to change the program that we had set for today. Our program today is not Pfizer hires Hollywood celebrities to shill for their clot shot as Americans stay away from the booster in droves. No, our lead story today is going to be the 2023 Grammys call on Satan during a performance of Unholy, and then immediately cut to a brought to you by Pfizer promo video. If you were looking for a theme song wrapped in an iconic moment to truly symbolize what it means to be here on day 1057 of 15 days to flatten the curve, well, the 2023 Grammys last night was just the ticket for you. You had LGBTQ plus transgenders, you had Satan, you had women in cages being beaten with whips, all while a song titled Unholy was being performed. And if that wasn't enough, the moment that this demonic mess was done, they actually cut to a brought to you by Pfizer promo, tying the two in nice and neatly together. Now, there's nothing more that you need to know about the Great Reset, the pandemic, gain of function, and all the rest of that junk than that. But you don't have to take my word for it. Go to the Now the End Begins Twitter account and take a look at that video. We also have it in an article that we just published about an hour ago on NowTheEndBegins.com. When you watch that video, you will see that in 5 short minutes last night, the Grammy showed you a visual production of just about everything that we've been warning about since it all began. Now, let me ask you, how many times have you heard me tell you on the podcast about the rising spirit of Antichrist? Well, it rose last night over the Grammys, and it was broadcast to over 100 million people. How many times have you heard me expose the evils of Pfizer and Big Pharma? Last night, Pfizer sponsored that satanic moment. Now, people, if you can't see where we are on the end times timeline by now, if you can't see everything that we've been warning you about here at Now the End Begins is literally, actually, and visibly happening right in front of your face, then I don't know what to tell you. So today on the podcast, we have switched our topics, and I'll change the graphic later. And today we're going to be talking about Pfizer. We're going to be talking about Satanism. We're going to be talking about the rising spirit of Antichrist. We're going to be talking about what happened at the 2023 Grammys last night. And it is absolutely mind-blowing. On top of that, major earthquakes in Georgia, in western New York, and of course the massive 7.8 on the Richter scale earthquake in the nation of Turkey. If you don't think that what we're experiencing, what we're watching, 3 years ago I wrote that article called The Beginning of Sorrows, and that's exactly where we are right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. This morning we come to you in prayer, and Anetta is asking for prayer for a complete healing and the ability to walk again after having a stroke. Robert Wiley is battling ALS disease and needs our prayer. We're praying for pregnant mothers, Elena Blackburn, Kelsey Emerson, Reagan Gorzel, Lizette Wilder, and Aaron Riddle, that the Lord would watch over their babies and their pregnancies, and of course, watch over them. Jeanette's cousin Andrew had a stroke, and we're praying for him. Rob Beatty's colon cancer has come back. He said it's at stage 4. Bob Lieb from Boaz Baptist Chronicles, he is having heart issues. Catherine B. is having heart issues, and we're praying for her and praying for Bob. Kate is asking for prayer concerning her housing situation and an unspoken. Mark Saxo would like prayers for his son Joseph to return to the Lord. Charlie Kammerman needs prayer for recovery after a hip surgery. Laura Campoy needs prayer for a full healing after a scooter accident. Madison's grandbaby Addie is moved out of the ICU, and we will continue to pray for her. But that's a wonderful praise report. Marcy Long is waiting for the news of her multiple rounds of chemotherapy after colon cancer. Please keep Marcy Long in your prayers. Clayton Perry is suffering from chemo side effects, and his bones are starting to break. He sat behind me in church for over 3 years, and please pray for Clayton Perry and his wife, Kathy. The LaPiana family has an unspoken prayer request. Craig Arford and Harmon's son Michael dealing with pancreatic cancer. Chris Hart, he has a time-sensitive unspoken prayer that he would love to see the Lord answer in a mighty way. Rapture 57 has a bad case of COVID and needs our prayer. Sarah's father had a heart attack in the ICU. And Tricia, if you had an update, please post that in the chat room. Thank you. Aaron Riddle is asking for prayer, not only for her pregnancy, but her sister Tracy's cancer that has metastasized from her breast to her liver. Paul Van Battem in the Netherlands says, I am Ricky Gouda Van Battem's brother. Please pray for Ricky's daughter, Nortje, and please pray for me. Kathy Kelly says, update, Danny is still sick. He said he is fine, still lightheaded, kids are sick, but playing, wife is sick. The entire family is sick, but please pray for Kathy Kelly's son, Daniel's wife and kids, and himself for a recovery and a healing. Gail, who works at the bookstore, she's asking for prayer for a healing in her leg. And Karen says, asking for prayer for my 94-year-old dad, Jules. He's in the hospital with a whole bunch of stuff, and she's also sharing the gospel with him. So please pray that God would give a healing touch to Karen's dad, Jules, as well as salvation. Charlton, we're going to pray for a hedge of protection about him and his wife, Debbie. He's been away from home for 3 weeks, and he's working hard to get stuff done. And we're going to lift up Charlton and Debbie in prayer today. Please pray for Virginia's mom, Beatrice. She took a fall last night. She broke her wrist, and she may need surgery. And please pray for Beatrice, and please pray for Virginia. She's the chaplain's assistant from the Port St. Lucie jail, and she is so excited about the ministry of Now the End Begins and the Bibles Behind Bars, and we're going to pray for Virginia and her ministry as well. She was just certified as a chaplain last year, and that's a praise report. Patty Rogalski, update on husband Jerry. Cancer is under control. Shingles left him with very bad nerve damage that causes extreme pain and side effects from chemo. So please pray for Jerry Rogalski. From the chat room, Berta Crab says, did you hear about the 7.8 earthquake in Turkey? Praying that our street preacher Luann is okay. And that's a good prayer. Char says, please pray for Michael, the man saved in jail here a couple of weeks ago. Tiffany Brown says, I have an oral presentation in my Bible Institute class, and I'm nervous with public speaking. And we're going to pray that the Lord gets a hold of her and calms her nerves. Jericho Daly says, low energy at the moment, dealing with flu symptoms. Please excuse me if I don't say hello to everybody. Amen, brother. We don't get offended easily around here, and we're going to pray for you today. Mitch, please continue to pray for Aunt Kathleen. She is still in the hospital, and she has a number of problems. She's having a colonoscopy. She has AFib. And Mitch says, but most importantly, as you pray for her health, pray for her salvation. AJ says, last Wednesday on the Radio Bible Study, I prayed about a tricky job decision. I remember we prayed for you about that. And AJ says, I'm happy with the choice, and I start training tomorrow morning. Thanks for the prayers. Well, your prayer became a praise report, and we rejoice with you. You're very welcome. Please remember Trisha as she is taking the steps down the road to stem cell therapy for her hips. And please pray that God just orchestrates everything involved with the testing and the therapy itself, that she would be a good candidate for that, and that God would give her a healing touch and take care of those hips. Palmetto State Guy, please pray for my mother Eunice. And we have been praying for her for about a year now. She had a stroke. Now she has mucus in her lungs. And please pray for his mom, Eunice. Lulu says, praying in agreement for all these requests. Please say a prayer for my daughter to get the job that she applied for. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. We love you, Lord. Amen. Trisha, update on Sarah's dad. Had a stent placed and is doing well. He is tired, but recovering. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for all these that you've gathered here, God. We thank you for this ministry. Lord, you've expanded our coast and enlarged our borders. It's like you've answered the prayer of Jabez for us, and we're glad and we're grateful. And Lord, as we talk about these end times things, and they can be overwhelming, they can be scary. Some people will write and say, I really love that last program, but I'm very depressed now. And we needn't be depressed, Lord, because we need to look up as these things begin to come to pass, for the rapture is drawing nigh. And Lord, as we wait for that day, Lord, let us be busy. Give us work to do, and you have. And we're so glad and grateful to be able to do it. Lord, for everybody who needs a healing touch, for all the pregnant ladies, for everybody with hip conditions and heart conditions and COVID conditions and pancreatic cancer and chemotherapy and everything that we're praying for today, Lord. We ask you to touch each and every person and take care of what needs to be taken care of, Lord. You are the great physician. You are our great physician. And Father God, I put my own health into your care and clear the mucus out of my lungs and take away my cough. And Father God, for each and every person that we're praying for today, man, woman, and child, all the way down from little baby Addie to 94-year-old Jules and everybody in between, Lord, we ask you to get in the middle of that thing and do something, get something done. However you want to do it, that's fine with us. And Lord, for everybody who needs anything from you today, we ask you to work and move. Your word says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray today and commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I had told you at the start of the broadcast that I had a completely different program, different graphics. Everything was all set last night after the really, really great Bible study that we had. We did a Q&A for the last half an hour. And, you know, one thing that I really appreciate is that as you guys come to these Bible studies, and you really begin to study the word and ask questions and apply yourself, and, you know, you order Bible commentaries and books and things of that nature to help you with your study, I have noticed over the past couple of years, because now we have a really large core group of regulars, and I'm talking thousands of people who come all the time. You'll only see a couple of hundred in the chat room, but there's 1,000 more people listening who don't chat. And I communicate with the bulk of those people through phone calls and emails and things of that nature. Right now, there's 174 people in the chat room, but there's thousands of people who are listening to this podcast who are not chatting. And one of the things that I've noticed over the last couple of years especially is that the quality of the questions and the complexity of the questions that you guys are asking when we do our question and answer time has really greatly escalated. So kudos to all of you who are studying the word. Paul says this, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And you guys do that. And the questions have been really, really good for a while now. They're always good. But I guess just what I'm trying to say is I notice that you guys are stepping up your Bible game. And as a Bible teacher, that makes me so happy. That puts a huge smile on my face, and it shows that you guys are putting the work in, you guys are getting the job done, and that's really, really exciting. So I want to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, keep attending the Bible studies, of course, but stay in that King James Bible. Get yourself some commentaries. Get yourself some study helps. Everybody, absolutely everybody, should have in their library, you should have dispensational truth. You should have a dozen different commentaries from Clarence Larkin and Dr. Ruckman. And these are all, if you were to look at my library, now, my library is not as big as you would think it would be, but it's fairly large. And truth be told, my library is the entire bookstore. But in terms of books that I actually purchase myself, most of the books that we sell at the bookstore are books that I have been reading for years, if not for decades. And you know, when we do these sales at the bookstore, and I'll just give a little plug for the bookstore sale as long as I'm on the topic. The whole point behind these sales is not for us to make money. Now, we have to pay the rent. We have to keep the lights on. Absolutely. But the whole point behind these sales is so that you guys can get the Bibles, commentaries, books, and study helps that you need to help you in your study of the Word of God. So I told you last night that we are extending the bookstore sale. It was supposed to end last night. We are extending it for another full week. And I added on Saturday morning, I added another 32 items. Really, really good stuff. If you were to buy the entire bundle of Ruckman's commentaries, you're going to save about $120. And I have slashed the prices. Absolutely slashed the prices. Shannon is telling Heath in the chat room that he needs to get an audio Bible. We have audio Bibles on sale at the bookstore right now. So please take advantage of this incredible 132 item sale that we have going on right now. We really put a lot of work into it, and I really want it to be a blessing to each and every one of you. And also, if you need a new Bible and you can't afford a Bible, Jeanette's going to put a link into the chat room right now. If you need a new King James study Bible and you don't have the money, you can't afford it, you're not in a position, it's not in a in your budget, well, Jeanette is going to post the link in the chat room where you can get yourself a completely free Ruckman Reference Study Bible, and the ladies at the bookstore will send it out to you anywhere the post office delivers, completely for free, no strings attached, no charge at all. And if you are not in the chat room and you'd like to take advantage of that, just go to BibleBeliever.com and click on the button that says free, and we'll send you a free King James Spanish Bible, and we'll send you a free Ruckman Reference Study Bible. And take advantage of this great sale. It's going to be active till Sunday. All right, with that, let's get in to the podcast. Hold on. Angela's saying goodbye.
I just picked up $200 worth of stuff.
Great seeing you. You're very welcome, and we're going to pray for your safe travels.
Thank you. God bless you.
All right, bye. That was Angela. She just came across the street from the bookstore. That's Angel in the chat room. Please keep her in your prayers. She is driving to Sarasota to visit her daughter, and she very much appreciates the prayer. All right, today we are talking about what happened at the Grammys last night. It was crazy. It was amazing. Last night, there is this singer called Sam Smith. And when I tell you that this guy, and I don't want to say anything insulting, we don't like to personally insult people, but when I tell you that this guy, Sam Smith, is an end times character, that would be an absolute understatement. And last night, he performed his song, and he has a transgender girlfriend by the name of, oh, I don't even know her name, Kim something or other. And last night, Sam Smith, the highlight of the Grammys, was performing his song that is called Unholy. And when he performed this song, he was dressed as Satan, and he had all these demons torturing women. And the demons were outside of the cage. The women were on the inside of the cage. And it was absolutely, well, if you've ever read the book of Revelation, it could have been lifted exactly from somewhere during the tribulation. Take a listen to what Madonna had to say. And if you haven't seen what she looks like lately, she looks like a combination between Marilyn Manson and that actor from Saturday Night Live, Pete Davis, whatever his name is. But Madonna looks like a demon from the pit of hell. She looks like a ghoul. And it was really, I mean, watching these things, it's unsettling. It absolutely is. But take a listen to Madonna last night at the Grammys introducing Sam Smith, his transgender girlfriend Kim, and the tribute to Satan song called Unholy.
Dangerous. You are definitely onto something. That's where you make noise. Thank you. So I'm here to give thanks to all the rebels out there forging a new path and taking the heat for all of it. You guys need to know, all you troublemakers out there, you need to know that your fearlessness does not go unnoticed.
Now, let me just stop Madonna right there. What she just said, where she is talking about all the brave men and women who are fearless in forging a new path, you know who she's talking about? She's talking about the transgenders. She's talking about the LGBTQ. She's talking about the Satanists that are about to perform this song. So when, and I'm going to start this clip over, but when you hear Madonna talking about these brave people who are getting all this stuff done, she's not talking about doctors saving people's lives. She's not talking about missionaries on a foreign field working to see souls get saved. She's not talking about heroic firemen pulling people out of a burning building. She's talking about the type of people that the Bible warns you to stay away from. And you have to remember that this is one of Hollywood's biggest nights. In the music industry, there is nothing bigger than the Grammy Awards. And last night, they dedicated the entire program to Satan. And I'm also going to play a clip after this, and you're going to hear for yourself that it was sponsored by Pfizer. But take a listen to Madonna, and she's talking about the brave people of this new world.
Dangerous. You are definitely onto something. That's where you make noise. Thank you. So I'm here to give thanks to all the rebels out there forging a new path and taking the heat for all of it. You guys need to know, all you troublemakers out there, you need to know that your fearlessness does not go unnoticed. You are seen, you are heard, and most of all, you are appreciated. Speaking of controversy, it gives me great pleasure to introduce two incredibly talented artists who have risen above the noise, the doubt, the critics, into something beautifully unholy. Yeah. Here are two Grammy Award winners, Sam Smith and Kim Petras. Give it up!
I'm not going to play the whole song. I got people in the chat room saying, please don't play it. Well, I was not going to play it. I just wanted to give you a little bit of a taste of it. And just to show you how absolutely wicked what they did last night. And when you remember that all of that is in the context of Hollywood and broadcasting one of their most popular programs around the world to over 100 million people. And you heard those people cheering. You heard those people cheering. They're cheering for the devil. And there is just no way around that. And if you don't see that, then your eyes are absolutely closed. Now, I do want to play a tiny little clip that I have because I want you to hear the end of this clip. Take a listen to this. Did you hear what they said at the end of that clip? The Grammy Awards are sponsored by Pfizer. And do you think that it's an accident? I want to ask you a question sincerely. Do you think that it's an accident or a coincidence that you have these people performing that song, invoking the name of Satan on the Grammy show? And then immediately after that show is done, you see the 66 Grammy Awards have been sponsored by Pfizer. Now, is that a stretch? I'm asking, is that a stretch to say that those two things are connected? I don't think that that's a stretch of any kind at all. And this is where the battle is. This is where the fight is. You know what the Bible says? Paul says this in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And then turn to Revelation. Turn to Revelation. I think I want Revelation chapter 9 down at the bottom. Yeah, there it is. Revelation chapter 9, talking about the one world religion that will be in place during the time of Jacob's trouble. Revelation 9:20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders nor of their sorceries. That word sorceries in Revelation 9:21 is the Greek word pharmakia. Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. So Revelation 9:20 and 21, that is showing you what's going to be taking place during the time of Jacob's trouble. Pharmakia, that's where we get the word for pharmacy from. If you've ever gone down to your local pharmacy, that's the Greek word pharmakia. It's also the main word that they use for witchcraft and sorcery. So, if we were to sum up the Grammy Awards last night, if we were to look at everything that was presented, what you would come away with is an interactive, live version of a chick track. It would be a combination between Doomtown, The Last Generation, and This Was Your Life. What was broadcast for all the world to see last night backs up and validates everything that we've been telling you about, not just for the last 1,057 days of 15 days to flatten the curve, but this backs up and validates everything that we've been warning you about for the last 14 years. And do you know what I see from my position as editor-in-chief of Now the End Begins? Last week, we celebrated 10,000 published articles, which is that's a miracle. When I look at the things that happened on the Grammys last night, sponsored by Pfizer, and I can't repeat that often enough, they played a sponsored by Pfizer promotional clip immediately after that song Unholy was done being performed. They are sending you a message. There is no doubt about that of any kind. And you don't need to have a tinfoil hat. You don't need to be a conspiracy theory person. You just have to be saved, born again, have the Holy Spirit inside you, giving you wisdom and discernment, and a King James Bible to put it all together. Do you remember a couple of years ago when Madonna, she dressed up as Antichrist back in 2019, literally just 5 months before the pandemic broke out? In 2019, Madonna performed at Eurovision in Israel, and she performed as Antichrist with an X over her eye, mocking the sacrifice of Jesus Christ at Calvary. And this is the same Madonna who last night introduced Sam Smith and his transgender whatever, Kim Petra, and they performed their little unholy song as they called upon Satan and invoked his presence. So, this is where we are on the end times timeline. Things are heating up to an astonishing degree. And these people have become so bold that they can do things like overt. Look, It's one thing. I can remember back in the 1970s. And if you're old enough to remember what an album is, what a record is, then you remember something called backwards masking, where if you took a record on a turntable and you played that record backwards by spinning it with your hand, sometimes they would put demonic messages into the rock and roll albums, and everybody had a lot of fun. It sends a chill down my spine now, but everybody had a lot of fun playing those albums backwards to listen to the scary messages. But that's not what they did last night. What they did last night was an overt call to Satan to show up. And how many times have you excuse me. How many times have you heard me say that we are watching the rising spirit of Antichrist? Well, that's exactly what happened at the Grammys last night. And these things are now in the open. These things are par for the course. I'm old enough to remember when a show like the Grammys was an awards show about singing and dancing. That's not what happened last night. Last night, the agenda, the end times agenda of Antichrist, was put on display for all the world to see. Now, if you're a lost person listening to this broadcast, we invite you to get saved. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." If you're lost, you need to get saved. But if you're a lost person, if you're one of our new 20,000 Twitter followers that found your way here, then you maybe think that I might be exaggerating things a little bit. You might think that I might be making more of it than what it really is. But if you're saved, if you have the Holy Spirit living inside you, then you're probably saying to yourself, dude, you need to go a little further. You need to step it up. Because I really don't have the words in my internal lexicon to be able to vocalize to you strongly enough what happened last night on the Grammys. It was a literal fulfillment of end times. I don't want to say Bible prophecy from the perspective talking about a specific event, but talking about the temperature and the flavor of the end times. It really doesn't get more end times than that. And I've been telling you for quite some time that this lost world is not looking for Jesus Christ. They are waiting for Antichrist. Do you remember the article that we did? When did we do this article? 2019. Kanye West performed with Satanist Travis Scott at Astroworld 2019 as Marilyn Manson sang Antichrist Superstar and burned the Bible. For those of you that think Kanye West is one of the misunderstood good guys, he absolutely is not. He's one of the bad guys. So, last night, what did we see? We saw the Bible come to life. You saw end times prophecies on your flat screen smart TV or your mobile device or your computer. and you saw that the whole thing was sponsored by the very people who have been trying to force everybody in the entire world to take their clot shot. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that is a slam dunk. That ties everything together beautifully, perfectly, and wonderfully. And I don't really need to know much more about that than that. Now, let me play the clip that was supposed to be the main subject of today's podcast before the topic got preempted. Take a listen to this. Pfizer is recruiting Hollywood to push their shots.
If this were the real COVID-19, I would be in real trouble because I have asthma.
And I have depression.
I have diabetes.
And I struggle with my weight. For us, COVID is a whole different ballgame.
In fact, you could be one of almost 200 million Americans with a high risk factor. That makes COVID even riskier.
Which is why you need to be ready and have a plan. Other risk factors, including heart disease or being inactive.
Even being over 50 or being a smoker can put you at serious risk.
Could that be you? Find out. Go to noplangood.com and know your risk factors. Then make a plan.
Because if you get COVID on top of asthma, like I did, the last thing you want to do is wait and see. Be ready, have a plan. And ask your doctor about treatment options that may help.
And there you have people like Will.i.am, Pink, Michael Phelps, and I forget who the other woman was. But they're all people that are well-known in Hollywood, well-known in the celebrity world. And now they are shilling for Pfizer. Here's a fun fact. Over the past few months, people in the United States, as news of all these adverse reactions have been getting around, have begun to overwhelmingly reject the Pfizer and Moderna booster shots. In fact, only 7.6 million Americans out of 333 million total have elected to receive the new COVID vaccine that was available at the end of the summer last year. Compare that to 225 million people who initially took the first jab. Now, companies like Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna, they are not happy. And so now they have decided to recruit Hollywood to promote the shot. Now, you heard Michael Phelps saying that the reason why he needs to get vaxxed and boosted is because he suffers from depression. And then you heard that other guy say that if you're over the age of 50, then you need to be vaxxed and boosted. What is it about the age of 50 that suddenly puts you at high risk? Nothing. It's a complete lie. And then you heard that singer, Pink, talking about how she struggles with asthma. And so that's why she chose to get vaxxed and boosted, because she suffered from asthma. I can't tell you every time I have ever Googled her name, and 9 out of 10 times up pops a picture of her smoking cigarettes. And she's worried about having breathing problems because she has asthma, and she wants to get vaxxed and boosted so it doesn't affect her asthma. I wonder how that pack of cigarettes every single day affects her asthma. Well, speaking of the COVID vaccine, and speaking of adverse reactions, and speaking of all the lies that we were told over the last 1,057 days, newly elected Congressman Thomas Massey, he stood up the other day in Congress and he gave this amazing little speech.
Now I'm pleased to yield 4 minutes to another new member of the House Rules Committee, Mr. Massey of Kentucky, to speak on the rule.
You're recognized.
Thank you very much. I rise in support of this resolution because it would facilitate the passage of H.R. 497, the Freedom for Healthcare Workers Act. What does that bill do? It ends the unscientific, illogical, immoral, unconstitutional, unethical vaccine mandate on healthcare workers that is predicated on lies. What are some of those lies? Let's start with the first one. The first lie, the vaccine prevents spread. Who says that it doesn't prevent spread? Is this an internet conspiracy? Well, it's on the internet, but it's the CDC director, Rochelle Walensky, who said a year ago, what the vaccines can't do anymore is prevent transmission. Pfizer admitted they were not asked by regulators to assess whether their shots reduce transmission, nor did their trials measure whether the shots reduce transmission. What's the second lie that this mandate is predicated on? The vaccines don't cause any harm, can't cause any harm. They're safe. They're completely safe. You have nothing to worry about, no side effects, no adverse reactions. Who disputes that? Is it an internet conspiracy? It's the CDC website. Yes, it's on the internet. The CDC website acknowledges that the vaccines can cause myocarditis, pericarditis, blood clots, and even death. CDC and FDA recently announced they had identified a preliminary vaccine safety signal for persons 65 and older for the bivalent vaccine, that it could increase their chance of stroke in the 21 days following vaccination with Pfizer's new bivalent vaccine. What's the third lie that this is predicated on, this vaccine mandate for healthcare workers? That it's scientific, that it makes sense. How does it make sense to require somebody to have two shots targeted at a variant of the virus that is no longer circulating, to have two shots that wear off after 8 months, two shots that were taken 2 years ago? The CDC acknowledges that those vaccines that are mandated, taken 2 years ago, have worn off by now. Why would you mandate them? What's the fourth lie that this vaccine mandate is predicated on? It ignores natural immunity. When the vaccines first came out, the CDC that said that the vaccine was, that the Pfizer trial showed that the vaccine was 92% efficacious for those who had already had COVID. Guess what? It showed no such thing. I called the CDC. They admitted to me it was wrong. They said they would fix the website. Here we are over 2 years later. They haven't fixed that lie on their website. They know it's a lie. I have them on a recording if anybody over there wants to hear it. Finally, who's liable for the damage that this could cause? Nobody's liable. We're living under medical malpractice martial law right now under the PrEP Act and the EUAs. Let me close with this. This vaccine mandate affects nurses. 85% of nurses are female. And this Joe Biden's COVID vax mandate for healthcare workers has forced many from the workplace. Many of them quit nursing as a career, retired early, or didn't pursue it as a degree. This is the epitome of hypocrisy. Nobody in this room was mandated to take a vaccine. And we're voting on whether we're going to force people who want to take care of people, whether they have to take the vaccine. In the hypocrisy, none of us were mandated. None of the staff in this room were mandated to take this vaccine.
Expired.
End it now. Support this rule.
Gentleman from Texas reserves. A gentleman from Massachusetts.
And there you have Congressman Massey. He was just recently elected. And obviously he's a Republican because no Democrat would ever talk like that. But what did he say in Congress just the other day? Well, he said those same things that got our Facebook channel with hundreds of thousands of followers. That had to be taken down. We were suspended on Twitter. We were suspended on Facebook. And why did these things happen? Because we talked about exactly what he said from the halls of Congress just the other day. Now, there are those on the in the legacy media, the dinosaur media, and a lot of Democrats are starting to realize that the crimes that have been committed over the last 1,057 days of 15 days to flatten the curve are starting to be exposed. If you ever studied the history of Nazi Germany, and for 12 years, they thought that they would never lose. They thought that they would never get caught. And so they acted in such a way like they were all powerful. But then the day came when they lost the war. The concentration camps were exposed. And then they held the Nuremberg trials to bring as many of the Nazi hierarchy to justice as possible. Well, now the liberals in 2023 are calling for a pandemic amnesty. Can't we all just lay down our weapons and can't we all just be friends? And maybe we got a little crazy with the mandated vaccines and the digital identification and the green passes. And can't we all just forget about that? And can't we all just be friends? Well, the answer to that question is no. We reject the idea of a pandemic amnesty. And what we need, and I don't know if this will ever happen, but what we desperately need is a Nuremberg 2.0. And we need to put the people on trial. Ron DeSantis, he has said in the past that he wants to work to bring Anthony Fauci to trial. And I would love that. I would love to see Bill Gates on trial. Albert Bourla, who is the CEO of Pfizer. I would love to see the CEO of Moderna and BioNTech. I would love to see Joe Biden and all the rest of these people. I would like to see them on trial to answer for their crimes. Do I have another clip about... yeah, one more clip. Pfizer has been engineering the COVID virus to intentionally create mutations. Take a listen to this.
Our next story is about a sensational claim. You may have come across this one on the internet. Pfizer is engineering Wuhan virus mutations in a lab. There's a good chance you've seen this because this claim is sweeping the internet. Many of you wrote to us about this. Is this a conspiracy theory or is it a criminal pursuit waiting to be busted? Well, the idea is shocking to say the least. The pandemic is not even over yet. The origins of the virus, although known to the world, are yet to be officially established. The Chinese are still suffering from the homemade virus. And they're still blocking access to the controversial Wuhan lab. In the middle of all of this, we have another lab theory. Let me first show you the report. It says, Pfizer is building mutations in labs. What for? To make more effective vaccines. The claims have been made by Project Veritas. What is Project Veritas? It's an activist group known for conducting stings and ambush interviews. They say they conducted an undercover investigation. It features a Pfizer executive. His name is Jordan Tristan Walker. Project Veritas says he is the director of research and development at Pfizer. And this is the man I'm talking about. In the video that Project Veritas released, this man made some claims. And I have some quotes from what he said. One of the things we are exploring is like, why don't we just mutate COVID ourselves so we could create preemptively develop new vaccines, right? So we have to do that. If you're going to do that, though, there's a risk of, like, as you can imagine, that's what he's saying, don't tell anyone. Promise you won't tell anyone. The way this experiment would work is that we put the virus in monkeys and we successively cause them to keep infecting each other and we collect serial samples from them. It's sounds like a horror movie already. In their report, Project Veritas mentioned something called directed evolution. What is directed evolution? It's a scientific method. It is said to be one of the most useful and widespread tools in basic and applied biology. It is used to create biological entities with certain desired traits.
So here you just heard her use an expression called directed evolution. And directed evolution is very similar to gain of function. And what that does is it allows you to mutate a virus or a bacteria, and it allows you to change it to whatever you want it to be changed to. And on the podcast on Friday, I played that clip for you from Project Veritas. I'm not going to play it again. But Pfizer executives have absolutely admitted on video camera that they are using directed evolution to create mutated viruses of the COVID virus. And if you had to come up with a reason why they might be doing that, well, they are pushing very, very hard for people to keep using their shots. And from a purely financial perspective, you know, at the height, at the absolute height of the rush to vaccinate the whole world, do you know that groups like Pfizer and Moderna and BioNTech, they were making $1,000 per second. And they did that for over a year. $1,000 per second in profits. And this is why they have pushed for the first round, the second round, and all these booster shots. Do you think that they're concerned with your health? They absolutely are not. What they are concerned with primarily is generating profits for the shareholders. But do you have any idea the amount of money that $1,000 per second is? That's $60,000 per minute. And somebody do 60 times 60. No, 60 times 60,000. Somebody in the chat room figure out what is 60,000 times 60. And that's how much money that they made every single hour for over a year. Just waiting for somebody to post 60,000 times 60. And then whatever that answer is, times that by 12. So, $3.6 million per hour. Now, 3.6 million times 24, and that's what they made daily, absolutely daily. So, 3.6 million times 24. That is $860,400,000. That's how much money that they made every single day. $860,400,000, just under $1 billion with a B, dollars per day. And now you know why nobody wants to give up the shots and the vaccines. Now you know why Pfizer sponsored the Grammys last night. And not only that, they sponsored just about the bulk or the majority of every program that you watch on TV. Good Morning America. Well, take a listen for yourself.
Good Morning America is brought to you by Pfizer.
CBS Health Watch sponsored by Pfizer.
Anderson Cooper 360.
brought to you by Pfizer.
ABC News Nightline, brought to you by Pfizer.
Making a difference, brought to you by Pfizer.
CNN Tonight, brought to you by Pfizer.
Early Start,
brought to you by Pfizer.
Friday night on Aaron Burnett Out Front, brought to you by Pfizer.
This Week with George Stephanopoulos is brought to you by Pfizer.
This Weather Report brought to you by Pfizer.
Today's countdown to the royal wedding is brought to you by Pfizer.
And now a CBS Sports Update brought to you by Pfizer.
Meet the Press data download brought to you by Pfizer.
This portion of CBS This Morning sponsored by Pfizer.
On how to find the hidden sugars in the American family diet. Sponsored by Pfizer.
And there you have it. And just they do what Bill Gates does, is they shower the legacy media and newspapers and journalists and reporters. They shower them with money. And the whole point behind doing that is to get positive, good press. But we've been telling you that for years, years and years and years and years. So let's switch gears and let's talk about what happened yesterday. Massive earthquake in the nation of Turkey. Please keep Luann in your prayers. She is the American missionary that we pray for. She's from Sarasota, Florida. And she's an American missionary to Muslims living in Turkey. And we've had her on our list for quite some time now. But yesterday in Turkey, it was a massive earthquake. But kind of like the side story, there were also earthquakes 3.8, 4.2 in Georgia, in New York State. There was a fair amount of them. So take a listen to this. Massive earthquakes kill, at the time that this clip was made, it said more than 1,000 dead. There's 3,000 dead now, and the number is counting, but take a listen.
This is a catastrophe in a war-torn part of the world that has bitter experience of catastrophic events, and it keeps getting worse. The first earthquake, 7.8 magnitude. We are now hearing, Savannah, of another earthquake in the same area, 7.6 magnitude, and earth and aftershocks in cities in Iraq. And Savannah, the numbers are stunning. Almost 3,000 buildings have collapsed. More than 1,300 people have been killed. And that number inevitably will rise. Thousands have been injured, and thousands, Savannah, are now on their way to try and take part in this desperate rescue operation. Whole buildings collapsing from the earthquake's power. Unable to stand against this quake, almost 8 on the Richter scale. The morning light revealing devastation and wreckage. A toddler in Syria, bloody but conscious, pulled from the rubble. And other survivors taken from collapsed buildings, lucky to be alive. Three huge tremors snapping streetlights and sending car alarms wailing. The moments recorded on security camera footage. This is one of the region's worst quakes in decades, striking while people slept just after 4 a.m. The quake hitting a huge area of southern Turkey and northern Syria, an area already war-torn with hundreds of refugees. The tremors felt as far as Beirut, Jerusalem, and Gaza. In northern Syria, they are searching for survivors in opposition-held territory. Hospitals there already overwhelmed with the injured.
We need help. We need the international community to do something to help us, to support us.
Turkey's President Erdogan said rescue workers will be joined by troops to search for survivors, but they have a vast area to cover. Those searching, calling for silence as they try and listen for trapped survivors. This rescuer asking someone trapped, "What color are you wearing? Are you wearing pink?" A frantic rush to find those caught in the rubble. The White House offering to provide any and all assistance to Turkey, although the statement left out any reference to the U.S. working directly with Syria.
Kira, 7.8 magnitude quake. Can you just put that into perspective for us?
Yeah. Well, Savannah, scientists say 7.8 is equivalent to 32 Hiroshima bombs. And remember, as I mentioned at the top there, we are now hearing of another earthquake of a similar magnitude. And you know, Savannah, I have spent plenty of time in that region along the Turkish-Syria border. It is a place with many war refugees, many people living in destitution without electricity. This truly is a tragedy piled upon tragedy, Savannah.
Ugh, Karen, and we're just beginning to take the toll this morning.
The UK Daily Mail has this headline. Syrians knelt and prayed, fearing that it was Judgment Day, when 7.8 magnitude earthquake hit as buildings collapsed around them, wreaking destruction worse than anything during the Civil War. Now, the latest report that we have is that the death toll in Turkey and Syria has risen to 2,600 people. A huge earthquake killed more than 2,600 people across a swath of Turkey and northwest Syria on Monday, with freezing winter weather adding to the plight of the many thousands left injured or homeless and hampering efforts to find survivors. The magnitude 7.8 quake brought down whole apartment blocks in Turkish cities. So, this is the worst earthquake to strike Turkey this century. Abdul Salam al-Mahmoud said, he's a Syrian who lives in the northern town of Atarib. He said, it was like the apocalypse. They said, another woman said, we were shaken like a candle. There were nine of us at home. Two sons of mine are still in the rubble, and I'm waiting for them. So please pray for the people of Turkey and northern Syria who have been so tremendously and devastatingly affected by this earthquake. Now take a listen to this clip from Buffalo, New York, at the same time the earthquake was happening in Turkey.
What are you finding here, Aaron?
You know what? I'm just kind of looking up here again. The latest from the U.S. Here we go. Finally, they have information that just came in.
Fantastic.
This is from the U.S. Geological Survey. A 3.8 magnitude earthquake, 2 kilometers, so about 1.5 mile east-northeast of West Seneca, New York. So they just posted that when I just hit refresh right now.
Okay.
So environment, Canada saying 4.2.
Okay.
U.S. saying 3.8.
Okay.
Magnitude with a depth of about 3 kilometers. So, again, that's about 2 miles. So, right near West Seneca, as 2 kilometers east northeast of West Seneca, New York. The interactive map, it says, did you feel it? So we're looking that up right now. They just posted it when I hit the refresh button.
Okay,
right
so
there.
You're learning this information as we are.
I'm reading
right
it
now.
As you're seeing it.
Yes.
Yeah. So we have 4.2 from Canada, 3.8 rather measured in the U.S. with the center there right near West Seneca.
Okay, so we have another caller on with us right now, Denise from Strikersville. Denise, thank you for giving us a call. What was your experience this morning? Where were you when you felt this? Do we have Denise with us?
Okay.
Hi. Hi. Yes. Good morning, well, Denise. Tell us what you experienced.
I just put my son on the bus, and then I sat down, and my whole house, it just felt like someone banged on the side of it. It shook, startled me, and then I just went, looked outside, turned the lights on, and then I didn't see anything, obviously. And then I'm watching you in your live reaction to it as well. I'm like, okay, it's not just me. I'm not crazy.
I know. I felt like I had one of those. We really thought something happened in our building, you know?
Yeah.
So, Denise, you're in Strikersville. So that's in Wyoming County.
Yeah.
This we're seeing now, the area where it hit. Mm-hmm. And Aaron was just looking up and seeing this from the USGS, saying that it was this 3.8 magnitude earthquake really close to West Seneca. And you felt it.
So you have this massive earthquake in Turkey and northern Syria. You have a smaller earthquake in Buffalo, West Seneca, New York. You have another earthquake near Milledgeville, Georgia. I wonder if the Lord's trying to tell us something. And then, of course, when you connect that with what happened at the Grammys last night and all the things that we've been talking about today, I think a rather clear picture begins to come through. Take a listen to this really short clip. It's only 44 seconds long. The head of the United Nations saying that it's time to get rid of misinformation on the internet.
We'll call for action from everyone with influence on the spread of mis and disinformation on the internet. Governments, regulators, policymakers, technology companies, the media, civil society. Stop the hate. Set up strong guardrails. Be accountable for language that causes harm. And as part of my report to our common agenda, we are convening all stakeholders around the code of conduct for information integrity on digital platforms. And we'll also further strengthen our focus on how mis and disinformation are impacting progress on global issues, including the climate crisis.
So there you have the head of the United Nations, and he says it's time to get rid of mis and disinformation on the internet. I think you know by now that the largest source of mis and disinformation comes from world governments, from big business, and the legacy media. That is where, if you're going to get rid of misinformation and disinformation, you're going to have to shut the media down. Remember when we were talking last week about something called OpenAI and ChatGPT? Well, something else that needs to be addressed along with that is that robot workers are beginning to rise up the ranks of the fast food business. And what you're going to see, if the Lord tarries, you in the next 12 to 18 months, not just ghost kitchens, what you're going to see is you're going to see fast food restaurants all across America, all across the world, replacing their workers with robot workers. Take a listen to this.
Welcome to White Castle. This is Brittany. How may I help you?
This robot named Flippy runs the fry station at a White Castle outside of Chicago. With its mechanical arm and using computer vision technology, Flippy can cook everything from French fries and onion rings to cheese sticks. White Castle said it plans to add 100 Flippies to its kitchens nationwide.
We used to need 2 people to operate that French fry area during peak hours, and now we are able to only have 1 person operating that area.
Would you like to try the mac and cheese bites today? All right, thank you. If the screen's correct, it is 8:27. Second window, please.
Fast food jobs are demanding, quick moving, and sometimes even dangerous. But not for robots.
When you look at the restaurant industry, it's a little bit late to the party in adopting automation and robotics in particular.
So far, the restaurants that are using them or trying them out say that this automation really only has to do with helping relieve boring tasks from workers' plates, help make their jobs easier, let them engage with the customers more. But there's a lot of reports out there kind of guesstimating how many jobs could be replaced by these robots, by automation.
Up to 82% of restaurant positions could to some extent be replaced by robots. Automation could save U.S. fast food restaurants over $12 billion in annual wages. And restaurants are also struggling to find workers.
Now, ask yourself this question. You know as well as I do that while you may enjoy the occasional fast food meal, that the last thing that you ever want to see is the kitchen that that food was prepared in. The last thing that you want to see is how the workers in the back room handled your food before it made it to your table. And the idea of replacing substandard workers who do a substandard job with high-tech robots is something that is very, very enticing no matter how you look at it. You're going to get a better quality of food. You're going to get a better consistent quality of food. It's going to be faster. You're not going to have people calling in sick. You're not going to you're going to have less people complaining. And I think from a purely selfish perspective, I don't eat all that much fast food, but I do like a good Chick-fil-A number two from time to time with the waffle fries. What you're going to see is robot technology is going to make life better, easier, faster, and that's where the problem comes in. Because who wouldn't want to have those advantages? But just like that scene from that great movie, It's a Wonderful Life, where the person realizes that old man Potter, he's not selling shares, he's buying shares. And that's exactly what this artificial intelligence and open AI and ChatGPT. It brings convenience and all these other things with it. But at the same time, it is putting us in chains and at the beck and call of the artificial intelligence. Take a listen to this clip on why OpenAI's ChatGPT is such a big deal.
In the world of artificial intelligence, there's been one name that's been on everyone's lips lately.
ChatGPT.
OpenAI, the San Francisco-based startup that created ChatGPT, opened the tool up for public testing in November 2022. In under a week, the AI model amassed over a million users, according to OpenAI's CEO. By the end of January, ChatGPT was averaging about 13 million visitors per day. Users have put the text-based AI chatbot through its paces, with prompts ranging from the silly to the practical and even the creative.
The future's unfolding, it's hard to ignore. Automation's coming, it's knocking on the door.
The tool has become so popular that it's not unusual for users to be met with a message saying that ChatGPT is at capacity and can't handle any more queries.
As a linguist, and as a person who cares a lot about grammatical issues, stylistic issues, punctuation, spelling, the first thing that's really impressive is how good it is at basic writing. It's better than most of the writing that I've gotten from students over the decades.
I would say it has been an explosion of interest around not just ChatGPT, but around generative AI more broadly. I've described this in a couple different scenarios as being akin to an iPhone moment.
Of course, as with any new technology, there are a number of legitimate concerns.
If people believe that there's a problem with fake news, tools like this can only make the problem worse.
OpenAI declined to be interviewed as part of this documentary. So in order to figure out what ChatGPT is and how it works, CNBC decided...
All right, we'll just stop that clip there. But OpenAI, ChatGPT, and generative artificial intelligence are things that we have always talked about. We have, for years, we've been telling you about the rise of artificial intelligence, but if you're taking notes, you can mark down that in the year 2023, artificial intelligence came into its own. And this technology is going to change the world every bit as much as the world got changed in 2007 when Steve Jobs and Apple released the first smartphone, the iPhone. And generative artificial intelligence is going to change the world every bit as much as back in 1994 when the internet was released and the entire world began to get a computer and log on so that we are all connected. And the Bible talks about a one world government and a one world religion and a one world society. And these things are being made possible. They're being made possible by the connectivity of the entire world. And this is what Antichrist is going to inherit when he steps onto the scene after the rapture, and he is going to inherit a world that is already sold on the idea of implantable microchips, already sold on the idea of government injections, already sold on the idea of global society. Because remember, Satan only has 7 years to get this job done. He doesn't have a long period of time. And because of that, he has to step into a situation that is largely pre-prepared for him. And that's exactly what you are watching happening right now. What you saw last night with the Grammys, that's exactly what's happening. The unsaved world is preparing itself for a face-to-face rendezvous with Antichrist. And we are so close. We are unbelievably close. And so we see that the table has been set. And as far as I'm concerned, the Lord can come and get us anytime he chooses to do so. In the meantime, do not forget that we have extended our amazing 132-item sale for another week. And you can go to BibleBeliever.com and just check out the amazing books and commentaries and things that we have available. And I have personally slashed these prices. Absolutely every bit of fat has been removed from these prices. Because I want you guys to get these books and get these commentaries so that you can really dig in deep to the word, because that's the time period that we are living in right now. We are at the end of the end. And so I want to thank the people at Pfizer, and I want to thank the people who produced the Grammys last night, and I want to thank Sam Smith and his transgender girlfriend Kim Petra. And I want to thank Madonna. What do I want to thank them for? I want to thank them for validating everything that we've been warning you about for the last 1,057 days of 15 days to flatten the curve. And so you can clearly see that we have not been clickbaiting. We have not been hyping. We've been doing nothing but telling you the truth about the times that we live in. And this is where we are. And last night, 100 million people saw it with their own eyes. And that's exactly what we present every single day at Now the End Begins. We show you the news and information, and we put it through the filter of your King James Bible so we can show you the truth of the times that you're living in. Thank you so much for being part of the NTEB global family across America and around the world. Thank you so much for being a praying people. And Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Going to have a big, big announcement about the camp meeting and a bunch of other things as well. Have a great week, everybody.
The Bible says my king is a king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impossible. impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Terror couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah!